Once it was a blessing. Now it is the Lord. Once it was a feeling, but now it is His Word. Once the gift I wanted, but now the giver own. Once I sought for healing, but now Himself alone. All for Jesus, all for Jesus, of Jesus I would sing. Everything is Jesus, and Jesus is everything.
Turn in your Bibles this morning to Acts chapter 2. And we'd like to preach this morning on the characteristics of a real conversion or the results of repentance as recorded in the book of Acts chapter 2. Now, the Apostle Peter was preaching on the day of Pentecost. The disciples had been filled with the Holy Spirit. The fire of God had come down as they were waiting in the upper room, tarrying until the day the Holy Spirit came and the fulfillment of this prophecy was realized as it was recorded in Leviticus 23 and throughout the Old Testament scriptures. Peter was a Spirit-filled preacher. Just a few days before, this man had sinned against Jesus Christ. In Matthew chapter 26 and verse 69, he cursed the Lord three times, and there was the crowing of the rooster to remind him that he had denied the Lord as the Lord had prophesied. Peter had forsaken the Lord in the hour of crisis, but the Lord Jesus Christ in John 21, 15 to 18, came to Peter, and he said, "Peter, lovest thou me?" And Peter said, "Lord, you know that I love you." And the Lord Jesus looked him straight in the eyes and said it a second time, "Peter, lovest thou me more than these?" And Peter said, "Lord, you know I love thee." Peter was talking about a human love, an earthly love, and Jesus was talking about divine love, self-sacrificing love that comes through the cross and resurrection power. Peter listened to the Lord Jesus a third time as he asked, "Peter, do you really love me?" Peter was stirred up and reacted in his soul, and he said, "Lord, you know I love you." And Jesus said, "Feed my sheep, feed my lambs, feed my sheep, go and preach." And Peter the backslider, restored to God through fellowship of the Holy Spirit by repentance and by the blood of Jesus Christ through grace, came back to God. Beloved, no matter where you are today, God will take you back. The Bible says in Jeremiah chapter 3 that your backslidings will correct thee. The Word of God teaches today that if you confess your sins, He'll forgive you and cleanse you inwardly and give you the power of the Holy Spirit. And Jesus Christ will restore you back to fellowship. The Bible says, "You which are spiritual, restore one that is fallen in the spirit of meekness, considering thyself, lest thou also be tempted." I'm saying to you today, no matter where you are riding that automobile, no matter what you did last night, if you're sincere, if you mean it today, come just as you are in your weaknesses, in your backslidden condition, and confess and forsake it through the power of God, and be restored back to the resurrection life of Jesus Christ. Beloved, God will take you back into fellowship. God will forgive you. God will restore you. God will use you again. The reason that God has not taken you home to be with Him is He has a purpose for your life. God wants to show you His purpose and use you in His plan. And even as the Apostle Peter, beloved, you can come back to Him today. Recently, I saw a Christian at an altar who had gone against God, who had grieved the Holy Spirit, who had quenched the Spirit of the living God. He'd been wandering around in alcohol. I saw another Christian who had committed adultery. And I saw these two people at the altar. Nobody knew what they were there for, but I knew because I had counseled them. And I saw their eyes and saw their glow as they realized that Jesus Christ's blood was big enough and broad enough to accomplish the great act of forgiveness of sins for them as a backslider. And I saw them confess to God and get right, and I saw the joy of the Holy Spirit and the glow on their faces as they left that altar. They're going straight for God this morning. Right this very hour, they're living for Jesus Christ because they've come back to Him by confession and by rebound. You can do that today. I love you. I'm concerned about you, backslider. And I want you to know that God is the Father of mercies in 2 Corinthians 1:3, that He's a God of all grace in 1 Peter 5:10. I want you to know that He wants you to experience the length and the breadth and the depth and the height of His love, and to know the love of Christ which passes all knowledge. I want you to realize today that His grace is sufficient, that His strength will be made perfect in your weakness in 2 Corinthians 12:9 and 10. I know that someone today is listening to my message. Someone today has providentially tuned in, and someone today right now is turning to God in this congregational service. Peter was the preacher God chose. He could have selected some other man, but He chose a backslider that He forgave. Peter repented. Peter was forgiven. Peter was restored, but now Peter was preaching. He was publicly restored in front of the rest of the disciples, just to let them know that God loved him and God had a plan for his life. Peter began to preach, and he said in verse 36 of Acts 2, "Therefore let all the house of Israel know assuredly that God hath made this same Jesus, or that same Jesus whom you have crucified, both Lord and Christ. You crucified him, but he's Lord. You've crucified him, but he's the anointed one of God. You've crucified him, but he is God in the flesh. You crucified him, but he's God Almighty, and he did not stay in that grave. He was resurrected on the third day. He ascended into heaven. He's coming back. He sent his Holy Spirit. Jesus Christ is the forgiver of mankind, the restorer of fellowship back to himself. He's the one that will come into a man's life and save them. If you're listening today, he'll save you. He'll redeem you. He'll give you a new life. He'll give you a new heart. You can come to Jesus, whoever you are. Simply confess your sins and get right with him." Peter said, "God has made this same Jesus, whom you have crucified, both Lord and both Christ." The Bible says in verse 37, "Now when they heard this, they were pricked in their heart, and said unto Peter and to the rest of the apostles, Men and brethren, what shall we do? What shall we do?" They were under conviction, and God the Spirit did his office work of convicting them of their sin, convicting them of judgment to come in John 16:8. He convicted them of their need of righteousness by profession of faith, by accepting Jesus. And they said, "What shall we do?" When you hear the gospel, when you go into a service and hear the old-time Bible, the old-time gospel preached, have you said, "What shall I do?" Or have you walked out passively, unattentive, going your own way? Peter got them under conviction by the Holy Spirit. And they said, "What shall we do?" They were ready to do what they ought to do for God. They were willing to repent. They were willing to obey the Scriptures. Peter said unto them, "Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the remission of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit." He said, "Change your mind about self, about sin, and about God. That's what saves you. Baptism doesn't save you. Repenting of your sins and accepting Jesus in your heart by grace through faith saves you." Peter said, "I want you to do that. And if you do that, then identify yourself with the death and burial and resurrection of Christ. Identify yourself before people." Many years ago, in the Orient, baptism had a very significant place. Sometimes baptism was met with death. People were killed and destroyed by following Jesus Christ in the waters of baptism. They had the conviction that they wanted to identify themselves with the word and name of Christians and become a Christian. And by doing this, they risked their very lives. And so baptism was extremely important. It still is, because it shows people that we're not ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ. It doesn't save us, but every child of God should be baptized by immersion and identify themselves with his death and burial and resurrection after they're saved. For the Bible says in verse 20, "And with many other words did he testify and exhort, saying, Save yourselves from this untoward generation." Notice the characteristics, beloved, of a true Christian. Someone that really meets Jesus Christ. Someone that really repents of sins. If you have accepted Jesus and you're willing to go all the way with God, you should have these characteristics in the providence of Jesus Christ by his mercy. Verse 41, "And they that gladly received his word were baptized." They obeyed him. They publicly testified. They identified themselves with the lowly Nazarene. They identified themselves with those who were different and peculiar, 1 Peter 2:9, the born-again believers, the true Christians. And so they were baptized. They gladly received his word. They accepted it. They did not argue it. They received it in their heart. And the same day there were added unto them about 3,000. They continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship and in breaking of bread and in prayers. Beloved, they didn't go to church and then forget it all. They didn't leave that baptismal tank and go out and live for themselves. They continued to grow in grace and knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ in 2 Peter 3:18. They continued steadfastly. Some of you believers need to come to God and live steadfastly. You need to come to the cross and live a steadfast life through the power of resurrection by the grace of the living God. Some of you this morning are backslidden. Some of you are living in sin. Some of you are selfish and occupied with your own plans and program. Some of you refuse to sacrifice for God. Some of you are wandering in the wilderness of life. Some of you think more of the earth than you do of heaven. You think more of food than you do fasting. You think more of feasting than you do prayer. You think more of material things than you do spiritual things. Some of you today do not understand the liberating power and forces of God. You have never entered into the victory of the Holy Spirit. You've never continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship. Brother, they obeyed the apostles' doctrine because the apostles' doctrine was the doctrine of Jesus Christ. They continued in fellowship so that they could enter into the grandest privilege of the Christian life, fellowshipping in the person of Jesus Christ, one with another in 1 Peter 1:3. It is a fellowship of love of Romans 5:5. It's a fellowship of joy of John 15:11. It's a fellowship of peace in John 14:27. It's a fellowship of cheerfulness in John 16:33. It's a fellowship of prayer in Acts 1:8. It's a wonderful fellowship. And they continued in it. They continued in it. They continued in the Lord's Supper and breaking of bread and in prayers in Acts 2:42. Beloved, because they did this, fear came upon every soul, and many wonders and signs were done by the apostles. Oh, if the corporate body would obey God and continue steadfastly in the true doctrine of Jesus Christ, if they'd continue in fellowship, in prayers, and go and pray together, then the place would be shaken as it was in Acts 4:31, and power would come down, and God would do a mighty work in the hearts of his own people. And fear came upon every soul, and many wonders and signs were done by the apostles, and all that believed were together in the unity of the Spirit, and all things were common. Oh, beloved, listen to me today. There's no reason why the Christians that love God and are saved, regardless of denominational barriers, there are no reasons why they cannot have unity based upon the Christ-centered union in Jesus Christ. I mean, if we're saved, I mean, if we're born again, I mean, if we love the Bible with an uncompromising approach, I mean, there's no reason, beloved, why we cannot have all things together and have all things common and share in the wonderful benefits of our salvation. Oh, how they loved one another. Oh, how they seemed to be drunk with new wine, but it was the Holy Spirit. Oh, how they shared and forgave one another and helped one another. Oh, that our churches would get back today, and the middle wall of partitions would be broke down, and we enter into the experience of the one new man in Ephesians 2:15. Oh, the Bible says in Acts 2:46, and they continuing daily with one accord, one purpose, one loyalty, one love, one act of service, one power in the Holy Spirit, the grace of Jesus in the temple. They came to church often. And breaking of bread from house to house, they went from house to house, and all the Christians shared in the fellowship. They did eat their meat with gladness. There was gladness in that fellowship. There was a singleness of heart in that fellowship. There was one divine purpose in it, to glorify God, to bring pleasure to Jesus Christ first and foremost, praising God and having favor with all the people. And then the Lord did something because of this fellowship. Because of these converted people who went all the way with God. The Bible says in Acts 2:47, the Lord added to the church daily such as should be saved. Oh, the Lord will add to the church if we get right. Bow your head right now as Miss Corinth sings this invitational hymn, we want to extend to you this invitation. Right now, wherever you are, quiet your mind before God and ask Jesus Christ to come in and forgive you all of your sins. The Bible says if we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Right now, if you're in a place where you can do it, bow your heads before God. And if you're riding along in that automobile, pull it up on the side of the road and ask Jesus Christ to be your personal Savior at this very moment. I'm going to pause for a moment and give you an opportunity to ask Jesus Christ to come in your heart. Just repeat after me, believing with all your heart, Lord, I know I'm a sinner. I cannot save myself. Please forgive me for all my sins and come into my heart to be my Savior at this very hour. Help me to go to a good Bible church and to read the Word of God and to follow you. I thank you for it in Jesus' precious name. Amen. The Bible says, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. If you confessed and called and meant it in your heart, Jesus Christ has saved you, and you're a newborn child of God.